This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Former 24/7 champion, Peter Rosenberg.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Bear, I'm doing a show. Turkey, ducky, turkey, ducky.
That's great.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to ENN.
On TV.
I'd like to start off today, if I can, so I will, by saying good evening to Michael.
Ciara has her own bread.
Good evening to Don.
How did they make the Lincoln Tunnel? A, siphon the Hudson River. B, dig under the river. 3, just wished it to happen.
I go 3.
Good evening to Don.
I want to back the old.
Good evening to Don.
I'm not intelligent.
Yes. No.
And it's a bracket right here, Peter.
And your no, Peter, was a yes. Like, you had opposite answers, but had the same sentiment.
Right, we agree. Yeah, let's hear it again.
I'm not intelligent.
Yes. No.
Yeah, it's 100% right. We said the same thing, except he said yes, and I said no. And we say good evening to Don.
If the Nets had a happy Harden.
And lastly, we say good evening to myself. I'm Captain COVID.
I think I got half my bracket for next year today.
You're I don't right. think You're I did well.
I love back the old. That to me is
I want to back the old.
Chipmunks are in my head.
We need to have a Don action figure, Michael. You pull the string in his back.
I'm sure somebody could make that.
But you could make a different one every day for him.
I just pull the string and a different thing comes out.
He just had another one.
If the Nets had a happy Harden.
Let's start off with Tiger Watch.
Tiger Watch.
So, Tiger, how did you play today?
Well, got off to kind of a slow start.
Do you feel like you're back to win at this level?
Yeah, I do, because I just did it.
You just love Tiger. Sniff him. Sniff him dead.
Well, Tiger says he's ready to go.
Ooh, Tiger just did it close on 10.
And more importantly, his dear friend Fred Couples says so as well. Tiger finished up his prep earlier today. He played with Justin Thomas and Freddie Couples. And Couples said he looked the exact same, maybe a little better.
Wait, exact same as when?
Didn't say specifically. I think he means like he looks like the same old Tiger.
Yeah, I think Freddie's caught up.
Tiger, the 5-time Masters champ, hasn't played in a regular PGA tournament in more than 17 months. His last appearance was at the 2020 Masters.
Why don't all of us on the show put in a certain amount of money, all 5 of us, and pick a number, like 2 over par, 3 under par, for the entire tournament, and the one that's closest wins.
Wait, say that one more time. What
Everybody picks how he's going to finish. Not where, Peter, you might say he's going to finish 6 under. I would probably go, he's going to finish over par. He's going to finish 5 over.
Don?
I might go with something else.
Could I, but what about, not make the cut?
You could do that,
you could
too.
Do that too.
Could be your guess. I think we should do that tomorrow.
Yeah.
We can't.
But we can't.
We can't do it tomorrow. We have to do it right now.
All right, so I'm picking right now that he does make the cut and he finishes the tournament plus 6.
I go plus 5.
I'm going to say 1 under.
Andrew?
Does not make the cut.
Wow.
Nice.
Anthony?
Makes the cut. I'll say even.
So we're all different.
Wow. I have him playing the worst.
Well, Jarv.
No, Andrew does. He doesn't make the cut.
Jarv, get to work.
Yeah.
There's a Tiger graphic to be made. Now, another big name that you're not going to see this year is Phil Mickelson. And according to the Augusta chairman, Fred Ridley, Mickelson was eligible to compete if he wanted, but he was notified via text message in late February or early March that he would skip the Masters. I just want to say we did not disinvite Phil. Phil's a three-time Masters champion and is invited in that category and many other categories. He's the defending PGA champion. So this, of course, all comes after February's controversial comments about the PGA Tour and a proposed breakaway league funded by a Saudi investment fund.
Guys, you know what, Peter? If he's going to be continue to be harassed over this, then he should join the Saudi league. He'd make a lot of money. He's already, well, like, said what he's going to say, that he cares about the money, not about the bad things they do.
Is he getting harassed still?
Well, I mean, I believe that part of the reason he's not coming here is because he knows he's going to get just crushed.
I think the move would have been to come.
And I think a lot of the players are really down on him. They said some nasty things about him. You never see, like, player-on-player crime like that.
I understand. He caught a lot of shrapnel. There's no doubt. But I think the move when you make a mistake like that is to apologize, show up. At the first presser when you get there, you talk about it, you answer whatever questions you need to, you address it with the people when you see them, and you move on, and people would forget. This is drawing it out, making it worse. Skipping the Masters?
And he loves the Masters.
Yeah, I don't think it's a good play.
Unless he just didn't want to be a distraction. But with Tiger there, I don't think it would be more than just the first day.
There could be golfers, Don, that could be on the course, like the 12th hole, that they spontaneously combust and never, ever live again. Nobody will notice with Tiger Woods playing.
Yeah, but with Phil's a distant second, but he's still second, I think, in popularity and people rooting for him and paying attention to him. You don't think that this would be a thing?
Mm-mm. Nothing's bigger than Tiger. Nothing in the world, I think, is bigger than Tiger now.
You mean at this moment?
Yeah. For him to play? This is huge.
Right. So why would you want another element to kind of take away from that?
Well, Phil, why would Phil care? He and Tiger have always been, you know, somewhat at loggerheads with each other.
Tiger, Joaquin Niemann, and Louis Oosthuizen.
Louis Oosthuizen.
Teeing off at 10:34
Will
tomorrow.
You be watching, Peter? That's usually nap time for you.
Let me check my interview schedule tomorrow.
Wow, interview schedule.
Time for sleepy time, Bobos.
Tomorrow.
Do you have a book tour?
Not my interviews. Tomorrow I have Kuti and Chike, the directors of the Kanye Genius documentary at 9 a.m. And then at 9:30 I have Mr. Fivio Foreign. So that'll be done around 10:15. Hopefully I get home in time for 10:34. If not, I may miss the first hole. But I will be watching. I will be locked in on the ESPN app tomorrow. Some other tee times, I know this is a big deal to you guys. Francisco Molinari, 8:22 a.m., Don.
Okay.
The aforementioned Fred Couples at 8:33. Do you have a pen?
Yes.
All right.
If Don was a golfer and he got an 8:22 tee time, you know what he'd say? Yeah, I'm good. He just wouldn't play.
You know who your favorite golfer should be, Don? And he's teeing off at 10:01.
Who's that?
The great Kevin Na. Because how do you feel about golf?
Nah.
Yeah, that should be your guy.
Golf is garbage.
Well, see, Michael doesn't pay attention. I've been going to bed at 11:20 every night. It's a new world now.
Did you watch Snowpiercer last night after the game?
No.
You said you were going to.
I was going to, but then 11:20 came. And it was like, it's time to go to bed.
Michael's favorite golfer, Brooks Koepka Cares, is teeing off at 2:03.
I'll be locked in right before our show.
I
don't think Brooks Koepka Cares.
He'll be in a group with Rory McIlroy.
I know I get killed for my take on it. Michael's not even going to have it on.
I will. No. I want to see I want to see Tiger play. But I'm not going to sit there and you know, have a full... You know, James Harden over watching golf like some of these other people.
We've made this a thing now. It's great.
All right. Let's move on, shall we?
Come on.
I think that's a new phrase on the show because of Don.
Yeah, instead of it's no longer a nude game. It's a Harden game.
It's a happy Harden game.
Going full Harden.
If the Nets had a happy Harden, I think somebody's going to step in and stop.
What a show today.
It's one of the best shows ever, seriously.
Oh, God.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, let's hear from Jeff Van Gundy. He was on KJM earlier, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. He was asked about the idea of Russell Westbrook and Anthony Davis to the Knicks.
Max suggested that AD and Westbrook in a package deal, now mind you, in New York City, in a package deal, get moved to the Knicks. What do you think about that?
Why? Well, I mean, why? For who?
Van Gundy going a little further on the idea of trading for Davis.
In New Orleans, when he was their best player, I think they won one playoff series, if I'm not mistaken. So it's not like a guarantee for more playoff success. They could get rid of some bad contracts, you know, because that's a lot of salary. So, you know, the Knicks didn't have a great offseason with who they signed either. So it's not as crazy now that I'm thinking about it as I first thought, but I still, if I was the Knicks, it would be the Knicksian thing type thing to do, but I wouldn't yeah. do it.
I'll tell you one thing. This is what the business has become, right? Max Kellerman comes up with something off the top of his beautiful head, and that's a discussion point that Jeff Van Gundy has to address. I thought that somebody actually said there's a chance that the Knicks could trade for Anthony Davis. No, it was just something that Max came up with.
That's correct.
We're now creating our own content.
But that's not new.
Nah, it's a little odd to make it a thing.
I mean, don't,
it came off the top of his head. It's not like somebody told him there's a possibility of it.
Well, honestly, if anything's odd about it, it's not that they did it on their show. It's that we then covered it on our show.
Right.
So I take that as a personal.
But it's not like
it's
an impossible scenario. He's from the area. There's reports that Utah wants to make a
move. No, this isn't Donovan Mitchell. I'm talking about Anthony Davis.
Oh, I'm sorry. So it was out of left field then.
I mean, the Russell Westbrook coming here would be the worst. You think it's been bad for Randall. Can you imagine Russell Westbrook in New York right now?
And what a change, because, Michael, weren't you the one that – or it was like discussed about the Knicks getting him in the offseason.
Yeah.
I think you were on the side of doing it.
Yeah. Back
what
then.
A disaster that would have been if he played the same way.
Well, no, he hasn't played that poorly. He just doesn't fit on that team.
I mean, he's been pretty bad.
Okay, but you don't think the Knicks would be better with him?
Russell?
If they didn't have to give up anything other than just take on the money.
I don't know. Would he be a better fit here?
I think he would be, yeah. He'd be the alpha dog. He's not the alpha dog. He's not even the second alpha dog.
He's okay, so much talk about Westbrook this year, just statistically, and I know with him, stats are sort of a weird thing, but 18.5 points a game. 7.5 rebounds, 7 assists.
So that doesn't sound awful, right?
No, that's a good line to start out with. He's 44% from the floor. He's 30% from three.
Never been a great three-point shooter.
And he's 66% from the line.
Not great.
And for his career, and this is what's odd, for his career, this to me sums up someone who's in a bad place. For his career, he's 78% from the line. 12% off this year. To me, that taps into there's a mental thing. There's just a mental thing. He's also 4 points down off his career average as well, 22.5.
Well, you've got LeBron scoring 28.
True. Different ballgame. I mean, it's not working either at all. It's a disaster. So, speaking of which, things have not been fantastic for the Brooklyn Nets, and we had Jay Williams on with us earlier, and he said he has real questions about Steve Nash as a coach.
What's coming down to me and what I'm hearing across the league from a multitude of people, guys, is that there are a lot of GMs, there are a lot of coaches that don't respect Steve Nash's adjustments that he makes in games. They don't see schemes. They don't see that type of next level thought defensively that is allowing this team to actually draw a stake in the ground.
That's quite a mouthful.
It's hard to argue.
Well,
he hasn't done a lot to make you think anything else.
He's inexperienced. He got the job because of the kind of player he was and the coach on the court, but he got the job because KD and Kyrie wanted him. And the feeling was they wanted him because they didn't want to be coached. And now they need to be coached. And maybe if everything worked out, guys, and there was the big three and they're making a run, then maybe there wouldn't be a lot of coaching. And maybe him managing the egos would be the biggest thing. That was our concern going in, right? Would be how would they be able to share the ball and all that, and maybe under those circumstances it worked. Now you're just any other team just trying to make the play-in, and you're not that much better than everybody else, so coaching's going to matter. And wouldn't it make sense that you're going up against experienced coaches and you're going to lose games because of that? That doesn't mean 5 years from now he can't be an excellent coach.
But there's a limited window with this team.
I know.
That's what I keep saying. Wouldn't it have been better to have a great coach, like hire a Jeff Van Gundy with this team?
Right, but that great coach would probably have fat hands.
Right.
And they didn't want
coach.
That.
Yeah.
So, in response to a federal mandate, the NCAA changed its rules back in August 2020 to allow schools to pay each of their athletes up to $5,980 per year as a reward for academic performance. According to information gathered by ESPN in the past 7 months, more than a third of FBS schools say they haven't decided whether they'll provide these additional benefits to athletes. Schools are not required to provide any new benefits or cash bonuses, but have the option to do so. Only 21 of 130 NCAA FBS level schools say that they plan to do it. 21.
Provide yeah. academic bonus payments.
Right. Correct.
Because I guess the other 109 know that they wouldn't be giving out any money.
Well, then I would think it'd be the opposite. Then why not agree to do it?
Because it would be farcical.
I don't know if I see that. I think you agree to do it especially if you know you're not going to have to pay it, unless this whole thing's eyewash and people. Barely anyone's going to get any of this money that's supposed to be there now.
Unless, also, it's a way for schools to cheat and give people money. And really, how are the one-and-done guys going to get any academic bonus payments? Think about it. They only have to go to class for the first semester. So once they're eligible after that, they don't ever have to go to class again. Because they know they're leaving at the end of 1 year. They don't have to keep up their eligibility.
You know how we love to talk about the fact that Atlanta Falcons football games, the food is so affordable?
That's right. I've heard that.
Well, at Braves games, I guess things are a bit different. They are offering, starting tomorrow at home games for the Braves, a Wagyu beef patty with cage-free pan-fried eggs, gold leaf-wrapped foie gras, grilled cold water lobster tail, heirloom tomato, Tillamook cheddar cheese, and truffle aioli on a toasted buttered bun served with Parmesan waffle fries. And that little sandwich and fries will only set you back $151.
How would you have room for the fries?
That's a great point, Don.
Who's buying that? Seriously.
What's the point of this?
Let's say it's like a really wealthy couple that wants to split it.
Well, you know what my biggest problem is?
What's that?
Is the lobster tail separate? It's not on the burger.
It's on the burger. They're
showing
I see it.
It looks like it's on the burger. Yeah.
Why would you want that?
Well,
why would you want lobster tail on your burger?
Here's why it's all the burger part of it's a joke, all right? Because nobody can pick that up and eat it with their hands. So you're just going to separate all the pieces anyway and make a meal out of it. So Michael's right. You go there with a friend or your wife, and then you kind of divvy everything up and you eat it with a fork and a knife.
But you also, you're not mentioning other, you get a replica World Series ring.
Is that true?
Yeah.
That's not listed in my thing here.
Yeah, it has it on the Chiron now on Yes.
Okay, well, that's not nothing. I don't know. The problem, and you're going to have to be.
It actually looks pretty good, though.
And you know how on the World Series rings they have the player's name in it? This one says Gavone.
Yeah.
That's no.
My problem with that, like, that'd be something if you went to the ballpark early, if you were going to sit down and like at a table. Like, how are you eating out of your seat? That's the problem. I like ballpark food, but that's why the hot dog is great, because that's easy. But when you start having to have stuff on your lap, and it's just you can't really enjoy it.
Just to, you know, continue to grow the game.
Okay.
Tibbs agrees.
Thank you, Tibbs. Let's go back to last night, shall we? Hear a little Rangers-Devils action.
Dawes will try the far glass. Panarin quickly to Strom. Strom near circle. Back up top for Fox. Fox back to Panarin at the far wing. Down low. Kreider deflection. Score! And that's a record. 25 power play goals for Chris Kreider. The most in one season of Rangers history. And it's 2-1 Blue Shirt.
Also Kreider's 47th goal of the season. Panarin picks up assists 64 and 65. Rangers 3-1 win over the Devils at the Rock. Don Marco LaGreca on the call.
Now, Don, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm sure it's a thrill to call games at Madison Square Garden. But I would think calling a Ranger game in your home state has to be top of the line.
No.
Really?
Nothing beats the Garden.
Really? Okay.
No offense to the Rock, but it opened in 2007.
But you're in your state. This is your Jersey boy. That's you.
Listen, it's the thrill to call a game, but to say it's more thrilling that I'm in my own state as opposed to at Madison Square Garden, the world's most famous arena where the Rangers play at home. Nah. I understand where you're going, Michael, but it's a stretch.
But the answer is Kevin, nah.
That's 10-1 first tee.
And that's the most power play goals in a season since Ovechkin had 25 in 14-15. So no small feat there. And he also broke Jaromir Jagr's record, 05-06, doing that for the Rangers. So he's had the season, Chris Kreider.
Broke Jagr's record for power play goals?
For power play goals in Rangers history in one season.
Wow. By the way, guys, I feel I'd be remiss. I didn't mention it yesterday. I feel I'd be remiss if I did not mention to you guys how incredible Pat McAfee was at WrestleMania this weekend. Did you see any highlights?
No.
I heard that he was great.
It was... Okay, all the celebrity guests were fantastic. Logan Paul was great. That guy's just like basically a pro wrestler. Johnny Knoxville was incredibly entertaining and did wacky stuff. And, you know, that was a lot of fun. Seeing Wee Man body slam Sami Zayn was just great entertainment.
How did Wee Man pick that guy up?
Did you see that?
Yeah, I did. It's amazing.
Honestly, so can I tell you the truth? I watched that about 10 times. Watch it closely and see how awesome Sami Zayn is, because he uses his arm and kind of wraps his arm around Wee Man's head, and he does it in a way, Don, where he just kind of props himself up on his shoulders and just sets Wee Man up for the slam. That match played out so beautifully for a live crowd. People just had a ball. But yeah, McAfee's match was like, he was great. Like, I can't believe the guy was just a punter. He's such a ridiculous athlete. Guys, he had a spot where he box jumped from the mat up to the top turnbuckle. Do you know how high that is? To jump with both feet from the mat up to the top turnbuckle? Let alone hitting the suplex afterwards and all the other things he did. Not to mention he took a beautiful stunner from Stone Cold Steve Austin. But yeah, I just wanted to give Pat his props because it was pretty impressive.
I'm surprised because you thought about he was a punter, and you look back at Steve Weatherford, and former Giant and Jet punter, and just how muscular he is. I wonder why he hasn't tried to dive into that area, unless he just doesn't have the skill set. But
he did look like a wrestler, Weatherford.
Now go to him right now. At Weatherford 5, the guy's cut. Now you just talk about the athleticism that you need, but.
Yeah,
I don't think he'd be able to do that.
But with McAfee, it's like, you know, it's the charisma and the talking, but man, the athleticism was impressive. That will do it for ENN on this Wednesday evening.
No sponsor?
No.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a weird day.
Interesting. It's a great day, though. 1-800-919-3776. We want to talk to you now. There's a lot of stuff we've hit. Lincoln Tunnel, how it was built. SAT, Don distracted by women.
I don't think I did well.
K-Rod cast, what should I wear? What else have we hit? A lot of stuff.
If the Nets had a happy Harden.
Yeah, we touched on that, but not too close. And also, I want to talk about a technological breakthrough in baseball that's going to happen. And starting tomorrow. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. The ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.